Hi, this is Daniel Garber the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Oh, yes, it's Halloween again, the perfect time to watch some spooky and scary movies. Okay, this week I'm looking at a fashion student in London who travels back in time from her attic apartment, a family in Massachusetts who find keys that open locked doors, and a schoolboy in the Pacific Northwest who always keeps his father's door locked from the outside. Last Night in Soho, co-written and directed by Edgar Wright. Eloise, played by Thomasin McKenzie, is an idealistic young student at a fashion college in North London. Though raised in remote Cornwall, she already sews her own dresses and wants to follow in her grandma and mum's footsteps as a designer. She's also obsessed by the early 1960s, the fashion, the people, the music, and she constantly listens to her grandma's old discs on a portable record player. But she can't stand the condescending attitude of her roommate Jocasta and most of the other students. So she leaves the dorm and rents an attic bedsit flat in Soho and gets a job at a local pub to pay for it. But everything changes on her first night in her new home. She awakens to find herself in Soho, circa 1964. Experiencing life through the eyes of a young woman named Sandy, played by Anya Taylor-Joy. Where Ellie is shy with mousy brown hair, Sandy is blonde, brash, and self-confident. She marches into the Café de Paris and declares she'll be the next singer on that famous stage. When Ellie wakes up in the morning, things are back to normal, but she feels different. So she starts sewing a 60s-style dress based on what she wore the night before in Soho, and she begins to mimic Sandy's look and lifestyle, dyeing her hair blonde, wearing makeup, and sticking up for herself. But gradually, she realizes 1960s Soho wasn't the fun place she imagined. It's actually full of exploitation, violence, and organized crime. And the separation between the two worlds start to blur with the ghosts of Sandy's far-off dangers appearing in her real life in modern London. Is Eloise losing her mind? And can she ever escape from this dual existence? Okay, Last Night in Soho is a cool, fun, and sometimes scary coming-of-age drama coming-of-age story loosely wrapped in a time travel theme. Throw in life in London, 60s girl groups, the fashion world, Soho burlesque, and seedy organized crime, and you have a fascinating, unique world to explore. Thomasin McKenzie gives a nuanced performance as a young woman trying to hang on to her sanity, while Anya Taylor-Joy, you might recognize her from the TV series The Queen's Gambit, is a dynamo as her alter ego. And you throw in some real 60s stars like Terrence Stamp as a sleazy barfly and an almost unrecognizable Diana Rigg, she was Emma Peel in The Avengers, as a curmudgeonly landlady, and you're left with a lot to watch and take in. Great movie. Antlers, co-written and directed by Scott Cooper. Julia, played by Kerry Russell, is a school teacher in a mining town in the Pacific Northwest. She lives with her brother Paul, played by Jesse Plemons, the local sheriff. She fled to California 20 years earlier to escape her abusive father, but now that he's dead, she feels safe to come back again. Little does she know, there are other dangers in this small town. In any case, she's having trouble fitting in. None of the 12-year-olds in her class participate or even seem at all interested in what she's teaching. And one kid in particular, Lucas, played by Jeremy T. Thomas, looks malnourished, bullied, and fearful. And she finds terrifying pictures he draws in his desk. She reaches out to help him, but though needy, he rejects her. You see, his dad ran a meth lab in an abandoned mine where something terrible happened a few weeks ago. Now, his dad and his 7-year-old brother are ill with a strange disease, and they can only eat raw flesh. So Lucas keeps them locked up in the attic, bringing them small animals he traps and any roadkill he can find beside the road. But it's not enough. So here we have a do-gooder teacher who wants to save what she sees as an abused and neglected child, while the boy is desperately trying to keep his family alive. But when Lucas's dad tries some human flesh, he really starts to change, both mentally and physically. He transforms. Can a little boy keep a monster at bay, or will it take a school teacher to stop this cannibal killer? Okay, Antlers is a bloody and gory, though not that scary, horror movie set among the gorgeous lakes and mountains of Western Canada. Strangely, the monster in the story, modeled on the Wendigo, a rapacious half-human, half-animal creature, is part of Anishinaabe culture in the East, not the Pacific Northwest. And aside from Graham Greene as a walk-on indigenous explainer, everyone else is white. That said, I like the acting and the fact that the characters are not all strictly good or bad, more multi-level than those in your typical scary movie. Antlers is a chilling, though slow-paced, horror thriller with enough blood and guts to keep you satisfied on Halloween. Lock and Key, based on the graphic novel by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. It's the present day in small town Matheson, Massachusetts. The Locke family, eldest son Tyler, played by Connor Jessup, middle sister Kinsey, played by Amelia Jones, and the youngest, Bodie, played by Jackson Robert Scott, as well as their mom, played by Darby Stanchfield, have all just relocated from Seattle. Their dad died in a terrible incident, so they think maybe a new environment will help them get over it. They move into their stately family home, a huge but crumbling mansion known as the Key House. It's been in the family for generations. So while the Locks know next to nothing about their own history, everyone in the town knows exactly who they are. The two oldest enroll in the local prep school. Tyler joins the hockey team while Kinsey falls in with a crowd of amateur filmmakers and horror movie buffs, while Bodie is left to explore the mansion. And what he discovers is something magical, a series of keys, each with its own properties. For example, one lets you walk through a door and you can emerge wherever you want to be. Another lets you enter someone else's mind and explore their memories. Soon, Tyler and Kinsey join in, looking for keys and using them, but their mother and their uncle Duncan, played by Aaron Ashmore, can't comprehend anything magical, even when they experience it themselves. Only kids can remember magic. But all is not just fun and games. There's an evil shape-shifting demon, a beautiful woman known as Dodge, who covets these keys for her own nefarious purposes. Who will triumph in the end? Lock and Key is a wonderful TV drama, a TV series that's part adventure, part horror, part psychological thriller, and part family drama. I'm purposely revealing as little as possible because I don't want to spoil the plot, but let me just say it's well acted with a mainly Canadian cast and lots of unexpected plot turns and cool special effects. And get this, the series was shot right here, just outside CIUT's broadcast studios in the Gothic hallways of Hart House, pre-COVID, of course. So if you're looking for something Halloween-y to binge on, you have to check out Lock and Key. Lock and Key Seasons 1 and 2 are streaming now on Netflix. Antlers and Last Night in Soho both open this weekend. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.